talking to another Purple member one day on the phone, and we were discussing a race. And I said, "Well, I threw that horse out. He just won his last race. I didn't put him in the energy computer. The reason I didn't is because he won his last race, and he takes a 7-week vacation, has 1 4-furlong workout in 7 weeks. Now, if I've got a horse that just won, seems to be in good form in the claiming division, I don't leave him laying around in the barn for 7 weeks to get stale and only working once. I mean, if you put him in energy just nails his horse as being the top horse by a lot. He's not. So I had to learn how to make those calls, because otherwise the numbers just don't work. What I've also learned how to do is go back and get my race down to about 4 or 5 legitimate contenders that have a chance to win the race today. The first thing I do is I designate the running style of each horse. The running style being, do they like to run first, second, or third in a sprint race? Or do they run from further back? And the reason I did that is because I'm one of those dumbbells that Howard talks about, because I could never get it straight in my head that because a horse runs on the lead, maybe he's an early horse. Well, Howard was always talking about energy distribution, and I was always talking about running style. They are not the same thing, and I want really to make that really clear. The race, does everybody remember the races we had on the board this morning? Because I'm going to name some things off from memory, so I'm hoping that we can all stay together, because there's only 4 horses in this race. And that was a silent race. All right, each one of those horses was listed by running style, because Howard handed me the race when I came out to Beaumont yesterday. He said, "Here, do this. Let's see what you come up with." I did it by running style. They were 4 early pressers by running style. An early presser to me in a sprint is some horse that runs first, second, or third at the second call and is less 2 lengths or less away from the leader. So we've got 4 early pressers and only 3 positions for them to be in. And when I see a race like this, the most probable horse that's going to win that is the most sustained of the early pressers. So by energy distribution, Silent was a sustained presser. But by running style, he's an early presser. Does everybody understand the difference? It's really important to understand that. Because if you have, for instance, in the Breeders' Cup race, which was in last month's follow-up, the problem race, there were 7 horses that were either early or early pressers. So what do you visualize when that gate opens? You've got 7 horses that are fighting for the lead or for second and third. Now, obviously, you can only have 3 horses out of those 7 that are going to make it. So how do you select those 3? You take the 3 fastest ones, is what I do. And if you do that and pay attention to their running styles and then look at their energy distribution, I think it'd be a big help. How many people write the running style down on their racing form? So that they can note that if you have a race that's overloaded with early pressers or overloaded with sustained horses. Yes.
Why do you have to do that? I mean, you just put the line into the computer and it comes out with running style.
No, it does not. It comes out by the energy distribution. There's a difference.
It says early presser.
Right. That's the energy distribution. That is not the running style. It might say early presser because the energy distribution is like 69.2 in a sprint. But what if he runs 4 or 5 lengths off the pace? What does that tell you about that horse?
For an early presser?
He's not an early presser. He runs 4 lengths off the pace.
He's
a sustained horse running style-wise, but he expends way too much of his energy to be able to implement that running style. He's probably not even a contender in today's race. Should be looking at the horses that are a little bit less than that energy wise. There's a really big difference, and it's important to realize this. And Howard just, you know, just like this. And I mean, I could never get that through my head. Why do stakes horses win wire to wire and the engine will call them sustained every time? Mainly because they can come home after running a mile and a 16th or a mile and an 8th, and they'll still run that last quarter mile in 24 seconds or less. That is a sustained horse. They are sustaining their energy throughout the whole race. That's where those terms came from. But it has nothing to do with how they run the race or where in the race they're going to be. And it's important to note if you're trying to visualize a race, and I do a lot of things visually, that if a horse wants to be first, second, or third, and can't be there today, I have to really wonder if this horse is going to be a contender for anything. How many times have you seen your horse come out of the gate, try for the lead, not make it, and then just drop out of it? Because they get discouraged. That's their running style. It has nothing to do with the horse is a bad horse or a quitter. It's just that he can't get to where he wants to be. So the jockey probably doesn't beat the living daylights out of the horse to get him so he runs fifth. What does he care? I mean, there's another race in a couple of weeks for this horse. So it's important to know how the mixture of the race is. If you've got a regular mixture. Howard has said, I agree with him 100%. If you put the top early horse in, the top two early pressers, maybe the one or two pressers or sustained pressers, and the top sustained horse in energy will get the winner 80% of the time. It's true. Because now you have the true running of the race. But if you put all sustained horses into energy, and you forget about the early horses, what's energy going to do? It's going to do only what it can do with what you've given it to do. Yes?
Well, I relate to the engine, and when you put you've got a turf race, and you put the horses into the computer, all you get is sustained pressers. So how can you have any early horses there? I've never seen an early horse that could win on a grass.
Does anybody ever play Splendor Catch? Let's see the hands. How many people have bet that horse to win in the last 2 years? You've cashed a lot of tickets. It goes wire to wire. When he gets the right pace matchup, he used to run in $10,000 claiming races. The only thing is that he likes to run about a 47 opening half mile on the turf. 47 and 2 is even better. You let that horse poke along in that front end, and he is absolutely awesome because he'll still come home in about a 23 and 4 or 24 second final fraction. But he is an early running style horse that is very sustained in energy distribution. That's what I'm saying. But he can't win it from any place but the lead. You put him in against stakes horses, which he just ran, he runs terrible. The horse comes up alongside of him, presses him beyond his energy limit in that first half mile, and he's history. He just drops out.
If we were to see your horse Splendor on those grass that we're looking at this morning,
right,
we'd see all of these races almost the same.
Absolutely.
So that's the way he's going to do. But if he's against other horses in today's matchup, and pick where he's got an advantage, he'll win. He's matched up to others that are better than him. He's going to be too far back and can't win.
That's right. Absolutely right. And if he's just a little bit better at the first fraction, he's a little bit better for the rest of the race, nobody's going to go past him. He's just going to go right wire to wire. And I mean, this horse, this one particular horse, is just a kind of a good example of that. He either wins or he runs out of it. But he's a sustained horse. And when he won the first time, he paid $50. I remember the race because I just started working with the final fraction ratings. And he had a rating of 99 coming down the hill on the turf. He had just stepped out of a $10,000 claiming race, running the turf, coming down the hill. And everybody said, well, this horse can't do anything. Well, he had a 99 rating. And they put him in against other horses on the turf in the distance who had about an 85 rating. So all the question was, is can he get the lead? And he could, and he did. He went wire to wire and paid a lot of money. He paid about $50. That's an isolated instance. But there's a difference between the running style of the horse and the energy distribution. And the better horses are mostly sustained pressers or sustained horses. They can sustain that high rate of speed over the distance that they're running today. I just want everybody to really get that clear, because if you don't, you'll say, well, look at this horse. He likes to run on the lead. And the engine calls him sustained. How can that be? And even worse, you'll see a three-year-old filly race. This is very common, where the engine will call every horse in the race early. And you say, my God, look at this horse. He runs from seventh position. Is this an early horse? No, he expends more of his energy. He expends his energy early. They have nothing left. the ladies have nothing left, yes.
So then what we learned this morning, what is what you're saying and what we learned about the engine from Dick have to do with the pace line selection? That throws it a little bit out of whack.
No, not really, not really. All I want you to do is be able to differentiate in your mind that when you see the engine and you see a whole long list of early horses, that doesn't mean that they all run on the lead. That's what I'm saying. Or if you see a whole long list of sustained horses, as this gentleman has said, that somebody of those sustained horses is going to take the lead. It's going to be a front runner. Because otherwise, they would all just have to stand there in the gate for nothing to ever happen. But I mean, I just want you to say the difference, see the difference in that. Because every once in a while, you'll see a race that's terribly lopsided by running style or and out of the engine. You'll see them, you know, I saw a filly race where every horse in the race was early. Well, they can't all get the lead, nor do they even want the lead. So what you want to start looking for is the most sustained of those early horses, the horse that's going to be in position to win. And those are kind of easy wins sometimes. That's all I'm saying.
If they all say early, then the engine isn't going to tell you which one is more sustained by the... You're going to have to look at that linearly.
No, you can tell by who's got the best last fraction. It's not, you know, what you do is you look at your average down here and who of the horses exceeds each one of those averages. Or is right on par in one of them and exceeds the other two. That's the horse that's probably going to win the race. Because the engine is really a valuable tool. I spent about all of December, I guess, trying to handicap with the engine. I found some real, you know, some very interesting things that you wouldn't notice normally. So I get into some kind of strange pace line selections sometimes because of that, because I can say, well, this pace line's going to come out real good. I looked at a lot of them. There's another hand over here.
So say if you look at the form and you find the, you determine what his running style is.
Uh-huh.
Then you run engine and determine what the energy style is.
Okay.
What kind of correlation do you look for there?
Well, if, for instance, in the silent race, when I have running styles of four early pressers, I immediately want to find a sustained or sustained pressing horse. Who's going to survive that activity where they're all close together for the first half mile of the 6 furlong race or 7 furlong race, I believe this was.
So then you have to go back to the form and look.
You don't need
start
the form
with the form
anymore. You've got all the information because the engine told us that Silent Nasty, I believe the name of the horse was the most sustained of the two sustained pressers. And the place horse was the second most. So that's where the information comes from. But what you're saying is you're looking at a sustained presser, and this horse, as an added bonus, will be only 2 lengths off the pace, which also would fit with the track model. They can't come from 7 or 8 lengths back, or very rarely, at Santa Anita to win anything right now. So all of the pieces of the puzzle start to fit together then. But I just want to make that differentiation, because I had a lot of trouble with that for a long, long time. I get the engine and say, wait, the engine's wrong. Well, no, it's not wrong. And Howard just look at me like, I'm nuts. And all it has to do with the difference between running style and energy distribution. And it will change a lot from 3-year-old fillies to older male stakes horses. Most of the older male stakes horses are always sustained or sustained pressers, even though they may run on the lead. It's because they distribute their energy in a sustained pressing manner that we have determined. So that's all. Yes?
Well, you're talking about applies to both the engine velocity and the engine.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They're both the same. It's going to make the same call as to the energy distribution because it's based on their median energy is all.
If we get 4 different lines on the engine, how far off are we going to be if we put it in the computer?
Say that again, I'm not sure if I understand.
We take the four lines of 4 horses,
uh-huh,
and we pick our pace line,
right,
and we put it through the engine. How much different is that going to be than the readout from our computer?
Well, without being too evasive, it depends on how much total energy is involved and how big a spread you have. If the track at Santa Anita has been all over the place because of the rain and apparently they're cutting the track or whatever they do. So, I mean, it's been real, real slow at times. Other times it's been sort of dull. And then at the beginning of the meeting, they set a track record for 6 furlongs, so it was lightning fast.
Yeah.
But if you put in several horses that have wide ranges and variance, you're going to have a big adjustment to equalize those horses, or it'll always pick the fastest horse, or the horse that has the best time. And that leads me to another topic that I'd like to cover, is how you can visually compare several running lines real quickly. And does anybody ever look at the variant? Okay. All right. For every point on the variant, fast or slow, will vary a horse's final time by about a half a length. That's kind of an established thing that we've looked at for years. It does work. So I want to put an example on the board. This will be the variant. We've probably seen some pace lines that were 70, speed rating of 73 or the variant of 29. This would be like at Santa Anita. And then you drop back and you see that the second line back was racing at Hollywood Park. He had an 88 speed rating against a 5, for instance. How much difference is there in those two races? This has been pretty common.
7.5 lengths.
Okay, what I do is I just subtract the smaller number from the larger number. We can do that together. That's 24. Okay? Divided by 2. 12. 12 from 88 is how much?
7.6.
They're very close together in reality. They could almost be identical. Because of the slowness of the track, I would just call those races identical. What you can use that for is when you're looking at a race and you're trying to say, my God, is that race that slow, or is the horse slow down, is he out of form, or whatever. You can kind of get an idea that there's nothing wrong with this horse. Matter of fact, if he'd been off for 60 days and this is his race as a comebacker, you might be looking for him to repeat this effort. I wouldn't use that pace line, however, because it's going to be way in, it's going to be weighed against these real slow times. It would probably kick the horse all the way up on top by a lot, unless you use the alternate adjustment, I don't really know. But I just wanted to point out that you can subtract the smaller number from the larger number and get an idea of how many lengths difference those two races are. Okay? Yes?
If that 88 was 29, how much difference would you say is there?
Well, then they're about 15 lengths difference. Yeah. If they were both equal, then I would just subtract the larger or the smaller from the larger number. That's the number of lengths difference. Because the Hollywood Park and Santa Anita in reality are very close at 6 furlongs. There could be a length difference, but it's not worth. Our programs will offset the differences with no problem at all. But when you look at these two races, and it becomes even more pronounced when you're looking at races that might be a little bit slower than this. You know, this might be an 80, for instance, and this might be, say, a 14. I don't know what that would work out to be. But the 14 from 29 would leave over 15. Divided by 2 equals 7.5 lengths difference. Now, if that was 80, those races are equal. Must have seen that. One would be, you take 7.5 from 80, which would be 72.5 versus 73. Those races are about the same. I just wanted to show you how to do that. Yes?
Can I back you up to phase 3?
Okay.
How do you determine the early, the middle, or sustain, or the presser and the sustain? How do you determine, how do you find them in phase 3?
The same way in all the programs. I can give you what my definitions of early pressers by running style. I don't know, and I just let
you.
Okay, an early horse is a horse that always goes for the lead.
Yeah, I know.
No matter what. That doesn't mean he always gets it, but in his good efforts, he goes for the lead. That means he's got to have a 1 at the first call. Good efforts, as opposed to an early presser, that may take the lead if afforded the opportunity, but he's perfectly content to run first, second, or third in less than two lengths. Less than two lengths in sprints and less than three lengths in routes. Those are early and early pressers. And routes and early horse, obviously, is the same thing. He always goes for the lead. What, the reason I do that is because most horses are early pressers as opposed to early horses. Mr. Frisky is an early horse. He has had the lead at every call and every race until his last one. And believe it or not, I would call him an early presser now because he's perfectly content to sit off the speed and pick him up later. But he'll be close.
Let's go with a sustained definition.
Okay, a sustained horse. Let's go to the presser next. Okay, the presser, he can run third if he's more than two lengths. He's probably going to run third, fourth, or fifth, somewhere in that range. In other words, he's still in the front half of the field, and he's three or four lengths behind. I put a lot of stuff on positioning because I think positioning is real important. To understand, so I can visualize a lot of races. I can see who's coming out of the gate, where they are, what happens after that. Howard had that drill that we used to do, you know, pick the race in a second or whatever it was, in a minute. I kind of got into that, and I used to try to handicap the race in between races on the replay show. You know how hard that is? In a minute. And I want to get the first four horses at each call. Forget it. It'll drive you nuts. But the presser is third, fourth, or fifth, more than two, less than four in sprints, more than three, less than five in routes. And then I don't go into a sustained presser because I'm writing this book to make it simple. I just call them sustained. Sustained horses run in the back half of the field, or more than four lengths in sprints, more than five lengths in routes. The back half, that's fifth or lower. Even if it's a seven horse field, you know, I'm not going to, because they might be a 12 horse field today, so. Does everybody understand that? We're going to have a little form that's going to have that written on there. And what I do, this form is kind of, it's been kind of helpful to me, is I separate all the horses by running style. So what I do is I have a section for early horses, section for my early pressers, and I have four lines under each one. Early pressers, and then the sustained horses down here. So I have 16 lines, which is enough to handle a big field. But what you can do is, after a while, you begin to see that, gosh, this race is kind of just loaded with early and early presser horses. Where this race is real evenly, we've got one early horse, we've got two early pressers, two pressers, and three sustained horses. That's kind of almost like a parade group. You know, when you see them like that, they're real nice. Most races aren't like that, but by separating them and looking at only the early horses, you'll find the fastest early horse that way. That's the horse you want to be your pace setter. Or you might accept two early horses, especially if they're clearly superior than your early presser horses. But don't put, you know, it just cuts down on the work of putting this up in the computer. And if I put my early pace ratings on there, I can just look down the page and see, you know, this guy's an early presser, but he's three lengths faster than my early horse. So he can take the lead if he wants to, or if he wants to lay behind this guy, is he going to have more energy at the end of the race? Absolutely. So you can kind of get a visual.
You're using those numbers to find out whether the horse is still in condition.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Well, then it's not too important to adjust them by PDS numbers. Would that make it more accurate?
I just adjust them by the track bearing. So getting back to the first race yesterday, these horses were real dogs, all right? I mean, they were slow. They're $10,000 filly and mare races, horses that, you know, these guys are on the last legs. And there's about eight or nine horses in the field. And I want you to stay with me on this, because this is really important. This will save you a lot of money or make a lot of money. One's just as good as the other, I think. The favorite was Yo Mama Mia. This horse just lost at $8,000 at Golden Gate by one length in fast time. Now let's look at this horse's history to determine if this horse is a contender. This is a $10,000 claiming race for fillies and mares 4 years old and up. Four runs back in Del Mar, They claimed this horse for $25,000. She's had three races since then. They laid her off after the claim for 3 months and brought her back at 16,000, where she ran third, beaten three quarters of a length. So they decided they were going to lay her off for a couple more weeks, and then they dropped her to 12.5, where she got beat. She ran eight, beat six lengths. Is she getting better or getting worse? Now they ban her all the way to Golden Gate. It costs them $500 by bus, or however they get horses up there, by truck. They run her at $8,000. Now they're taking a bloodbath on the purchase price of this horse. They are giving this horse away. Red flag. Please buy me. I'm tired of this horse. It doesn't cost me nothing but money. Get rid of it. The horse loses again. Now they spend $500 more and they bring her back to Santa Anita, where she's already been beaten by $8,000, and they make her the favorite. Fire the field. Bull. She ran about 7. And she probably can't win a 62.5 at Golden Gate. But the point is that this horse was, I just throw the horse out. And I was the kind of a handicapper that would eventually say, look at these numbers though, look at this. Energy loves this horse. You know, if she runs 75%, she wins, but she can't even run that anymore. And if you just throw that horse out of your head, you might get close to these monstrous mutuals. But that's the key to the race, is get rid of that horse. The horse is not a contender for anything. And if she wins occasionally, what have you lost? A $7 mutual. That's what you've lost. And you won't. Since I started doing this, just throwing the horse out, it's amazing how much different the race looks. The horse is not, she has no impact at all. So we go through the rest of the horses, and we come up with 4 of the slowest horses in the history of Santa Anita. A good stakes race. I'll tell you what Bea Cole runs. Bea Cole runs a rating of 189. She's done it at 5 different racetracks under all kinds of different conditions, from ankle-deep mud to a very fast track. She's a very good mare. Sunday Silence runs a 189 also. A 189 will win practically any handicap race, any sprint race in the United States. They are good horses. These horses' ratings are 156. That's the best. What's left? So they're about 35 lengths slow. No big deal. Everybody else in the field is 35 lengths slow too. All right. My figures came up with Valhalla at 156 and 2 horses tied at 153. Wind Doom and Mega Summer. Now what's interesting about these is that Mega Summer lost her last race by 14.5. Wind Doom lost her last race by 22.5. And Valhalla lost her last race by 15.5. And that's the best in the field. Now if you use Valhalla, I'm sure that if you would just use the 4 horses that I came up with as the contenders, put them through energy probably will get the winner no lower than 3rd. That's for sure. So what we've done is by dumping out an obvious horse that's going to lose today and they don't know what to do with her, trying to get rid of her, the other horse, Sue for Libel, just lost by 12.5 at today's level, has lost at today's level 4 out of the last 5 times. Wind Doom, however, has never been at today's level. This is the lowest level she's ever raced at. Would you think maybe she could improve a 0.5 length today? What do you think?
Good. Yeah.
Not 5 lengths. They don't improve 5 lengths. 0.5 length. Maybe. Yeah. She just came back from a layoff of about 2 years. But she had a race on the 16th. Let's talk about some positive form factors. She had 4 works that were showing before her race. A 48.3 half mile, a 48 flat out of the gate. Now these are slow horses, real slow. A 103, 5 furlongs on the training track that was listed as good. You know what the training track is like? It's like a beach. And then she worked, just before her race, she worked 5 furlongs and 101 flat. Nobody else claims that in this race. All right? She had a race on the 16th against Flom. Does she have any chance against Flom? Flom is a speedball out of the gate. She was bumped twice at the start. That was at 12.5. Today they dropped her to 10,000. I'm not saying this horse is the kind that you take the rubber band off your bankroll and go buy a fistful of wind tickets on her. but you got to consider her for something. She's the most likely horse in this field to improve. The second most likely horse to improve is the horse that ran second, and that's Valhalla, who raced at 16,000, and it's never been this low either. She was only beaten 10, she was only beaten 15 and a quarter lengths, and she was last in a field of 10 horses. So she's not really going to be a world beater today, but she might improve a little bit with a softer company. I mean, this is really a soft company. There was another horse in there that I was able to throw out called First Move. And the reason I threw her out is because I just have to know a little bit about the history of the horse through running numbers and everything. So I call it NF, which is no form. And she ran fourth. But you got three real bad horses here. And we were just talking about place and show betting. And to be honest with you, Valhalla, because of the superior number, on an off-track basis, I would just bet the horse to place and show. I would never bet a horse like this to win. Never. I mean, it's too risky. Come on. But she's got a really good shot to hit the board. She's got the best final fraction in the race. No, she does not. But she's closest to the pace of the race, excuse me. The best combination. She's got a 156. Mega Summer has the best final fraction of those horses who ran third at 77-1. If I was at the track and would see something like that, you could put a little bit across the board on all these guys. I mean, these are monster odds. But, I mean, as an off-track, I mean, it's not like I wouldn't want to give you the impression that you see Wind Doom and say, gosh, this horse looks like a stand-on. I'm going to drive my 30 miles to Santa Anita and take a day off work or whatever and bet this horse. You don't do that, no. But what it is that if you see something like this at the racetrack, these horses really have a good shot in this field based on current condition and form. And if you put them through energy and leave the non-contenders out of there, you're going to get a real good notion as to what will happen in the race. And it'll probably nail Valhalla as the winner, but Wind Dune and Mega Summer would be real close. And if one at 44-1 and one at 77-1, you might take a little speculative bet on these guys because you'll cash monster tickets. You put six across and get back 18, that's a pretty good deal. I'll take that all day long. And the winner, I don't know what the winner paid, 84 to win, 23 to place, and 1580 to show. And the other horse who was actually the favorite, Valhalla was actually the favorite. I stand corrected. Yo Mama Mia was the second favorite at 5-2. But Valhalla paid 460 to place and 380 to show, and I'll take that all day long, too, because that's a real solid play. The horse really does fit. So, I mean, these huge mutuals are not gained by some sort of mystical handicapping style or anything like that. It's just what it is in dealing with reality. Yes?
Dr. Sutton told us at Las Vegas that you're not supposed to take a pace line over, I think it was 8 lengths. A bunch of pace lines that had a lot more than 8 lengths. His reasoning was that when you have that sort of a situation, the jockey will not use the horse. Now, did you take those pace lines?
Yes. The reason is because these were good pace lines by comparison. One of the horses had run 9 feet 26 3/4 lengths. Another horse has run 7 feet 12 lengths in a route race that the speed rating was 53. He's just too slow. If I give him 5 points, that's 58. He's still 4 to 5 points below these other guys. Another horse who was going to be the pace setter didn't even finish his last race, which was 4 months ago, and he's only had 2 works in 4 months. I don't think that horse is fit to run today. So Dr. Sarton is 100% correct in what he said, except when all the horses in the field have lost their last race by 20 lengths. What I'm saying is, don't be so locked into a statement here's what I've done, and it's worked out, is that if you've got a question about a horse, you can always look at his last pace line or her last pace line to determine how does that horse fit in with all of the rest of the horses today. In this case, the horse fits in pretty well.
And remember, there's a different answer for energy users and the synergism users.
Right.
Synergism is very unforgiving of beaten legs. Energy doesn't give it yet.
Yeah.
Well, this is even further than that. This is phase one.
Yeah, this is just phase one. And they still come out.
But he's an energy user, that's what I was saying.
You can make exceptions. Just like if that was the case, then Silent Nasty, who lost that race by 9 lengths. The only thing was that the speed rating from that pace line was 91, which also happened to be, I believe, the highest in the field. So there are exceptions. I mean, some of the biggest mutuals I've cashed are on horses that have lost by a lot of lengths and against very fast paces. I've seen horses that have paid $50 when they had about a 5-point advantage in PBS number. And it was just missed because of the beaten length theory. And you put them through and you find out the time that they ran between the second call and the finish was probably better than anybody else in the field, their second best. So, I mean, there are exceptions. But if you use the engine, you're not committing yourself to anything. You can look at that pace line and say, how bad is this pace line? You can always use the last race. Especially when it was 7 days ago. Is that a sign of a fit horse when they come back in 7 days? I think everybody's read that at one point or another. It's usually a good sign of a horse when they're coming back quickly, that the last race did not take so much out of them that they can't race anymore for a while. So that's another plus. The horse is also, the horse had a good series of workouts. So you might suspect that, all things being equal, she might be able to run halfway decent today because the competition is so bad, not because she's a good horse. And that's the difference. The contra-energy horse. When I was talking about separating your horses by running style, your contra-energy horse might say that you had 4 early horses and 4 early pressers in a race, for instance, and nothing else. Your contra-energy horse by your engine would be the horse that would be most sustained, because most of these horses are trying to run for the lead and are probably early presser horses. Usually their running style and their running style and energy distribution are somewhat similar. Sometimes they will show up sustained even though they run on the lead. But that's not as common as the similarity. So that's your contra horse. It's the horse that runs the opposite of what everybody else is doing. That's a kind of easy way to say it. There was a race the other day, can't think of the name of the stakes, but there was abundance of speed in the race. Burn Hills won it. Anybody remember what the name of it? That's not the Bulls of Chico. Anyway, it was a stakes race. Anyway, there were 4 or 5 horses in there that really wanted to have the lead. So if you can visualize a second call with all these horses that are very similar in pace, that want the lead, as they're just ready to start into the stretch, they're all lined up across the track. Now the horse that's going to survive that is the horse that's the most sustained of those 4 horses. Or he's laying right off of those 4 horses. And in this case, he was right with him and ran second, got beaten in the nose. But the horse that won changed its running style and came from off the pace with Burn Hills. But again, the contra-energy horse, really important for place. Paying attention to obvious pluses in form or obvious negatives in form. You claim a horse with $25,000, you successively drop her, she keeps losing and you keep dropping her. And she's already lost at least one level below where she is today. That's a throwout. Just get rid of the horse. If the horse beats you occasionally, you've lost nothing. Because with odds like 70-1, you certainly got these horses across the board. You just don't bet them to win. And you're going to cash a lot of tickets that way. And if you don't consider the horse and don't cloud your thinking with, gosh, look at this time. Well, if it was so good, she'd be racing back up there at 8,000. It isn't any good. They brought her back. They don't know what to do with this poor horse. You know, she's obviously got some real serious physical problems. Comparing races of the same horse, just like I was showing you here. when you're running your eye down and you're trying to see about how good these races are, when you're looking at off tracks and fast tracks and good tracks or muddy tracks, I mean, doing this will get you in the neighborhood. And you'd be surprised by doing it a few times for every race, all of the good races, you'll see that these horses will run like a range of, say, 83 to 85 or 83 to 86. And you can determine your contenders that way also. Obviously, if the horse is on his good day can only run an 83 and he's facing a lot of 86s today, chances are the horse is not part of the pace today, or not part of the winning flight contenders today. As far as the phase one goes, I've been doing some work on place and show of these, and it looks pretty promising. The sprints seem to run a lot truer than routes, which is because it's more speed oriented and not as much positioning and things like that. But as far as a show bet or a place bet, I think myself, I used to do a lot of show betting. I bet win and show. And I could never figure out who was going to place. Some place horses are pretty obvious. The ones that Howard went over that are in the manual are just dynamite. High APB, things like that. They are really, really strong. But it has to be like 25 to 30% higher. It can't be just 10% higher, 15%. And also, they'll usually show some sign as to positive form. They've had a race in the last couple of weeks, and they're dropping a little bit in class today. They're going to run against softer horses. And because class levels are man-made, you know, this first race that we talked about probably is not a $10,000 race. These are really bad horses. There was a $10,000 race run later in the day that was a full second faster. So the first three finishers of that race are infinitely better than the first finisher of this other race. So don't try to compare, you know, 10,000 is 10,000, but it's just dealing with what is in this race. That's why you can't have a par. I mean, they won this race in 113 at Santa Anita. I mean, the track is not that slow right now. And basically, off my number, she's improved 9 lengths. Did she improve 9 lengths? No. It's just that the track has improved 9 lengths because the other horse ran about where he's supposed to, ran about 10 lengths faster. So, you know, all things being equal, it was just that she was running on a really bad track before, and today's track is a little bit faster, and they're still slow. I don't think I really have anything else. Oh, sprint route. Okay, that's it. Has everybody seen the sprint route conversion that we use? Let me write it down again. You multiply the first fraction by 2.10. Second fraction by 1.59. No, the second call. First call, these are calls, and then the last fraction by 1.03. And basically what you're going to do is convert a sprint pace line to a route pace line. Has everybody seen this before? It's in a follow-up. Yeah. It's been in there a couple of times. All right. 2.10 times the first call, 1.59 times the second call, and 1.03 times the final fraction. That has to be extrapolated from the final time minus the second call.
That's good for a Southern California rodeo, right?
That's, well, as far as I know, yes.
It's been pretty standard for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and it does work in other parts of the country.
A little bit different at Turf Paradise, not much though.
You just have to make your own multiplier by track.
Yeah. All you do is divide the smaller number into the larger number. In other words, 2.10, if they run a 22 opening quarter, and their first call time is 46 in a route. It's basically the same class, though. That's where that number is calculated from. So it's easy to calculate for any track. All you do is take the pace of the race and of the two different distances, 6 furlongs and a mile and a 16th. And you can do it right out of the past performances. It has nothing to do with how the horse runs. It's the pace of the race. All right. So if you use this multiplier, what I do is, because I know that a pace at one in a sprint, 100 equals 44 seconds. Okay, and 100 in a route is one lap. So if I put an early pace rating to a sprinter, such as he runs against a 45-3 pace and he's beaten 1.5 lengths. So for every, this comes out to 92 minus 1.5. I don't want to go into exactly how to calculate all this stuff, but that's, and I'll tell you this separately if you want, but for every point, or one, every fifth of a second you deduct a point, and for every length or length and a half you deduct a point. So 1.5 lengths equals 1.5 points. This is 8 fifths of a second less than 44, so that's 8 points. So that's 92 minus 1.5 is, 90.5. Now if you take 8 points from that, that's about what they'll run the second call in. And the final fraction rating has already been decelerated for all the different distances. So that's how you can tell, you know.
Subtract 8 from that.
Yes, just take 8 points off that. That's pretty close. And if you don't believe it, then find a horse that's done both.